Kirabosa, let's begin. Let's begin. First thing is, yesterday we learned the Daf Yomi. I'm sure everyone, this was one of the most famous stories in the whole Shas. Yesterday, the Nozer, the Bamidorim with Shimon HaTzadik. What's the story? The story there is, there was the Shimon HaTzadik, I think it was the Kohen Gadol, right? He was the Kohen Gadol. Shimon HaTzadik, and who shows up in the Beis HaMikdash? A Nozer Tomei. A Nozer who was in the middle of his term of Nazirus, and accidentally he came in contact with a corpse. Tumas Meis. What is the halacha? If a Nazir is in the middle of his Nazirus, he has to start all over. But before he starts all over, he has to shave off his hair, and he has to bring three korbanos, two birds, an oila, and a chatos, and a korban oshon. So shows up at the Beis HaMikdash, a young man, and he declares that he is a Nazir who has become Tamei. He is in the middle and he has to start all over, and he brings his korbanos. And he says to him, tell me, how did you become a Nazir? And he tells him a story. Happened once, I was a shepherd for my father out somewhere, and I had this beautiful, beautiful hair. And I was doing my work, and one day I was working and I came across a pond and I saw my reflection in the mirror. And I got carried away.
In the water.
I saw my reflection in the water. Babu in the water, I said, in the water, in the pond. I saw my reflection. So does that mean he never looked in the mirror? I don't know. This is very vague what the story over here is. A lot of big questions as to what exactly the story is.
We don't know how rare a mirror was.
So they had in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, they had bronze mirrors. They would look in the mirror. That's how they used those mirrors to make the kior. The kior was a mirror. The Maris HaTzoivos. The Maris, when you walked in the Beis HaMikdash, it was basically like taking a selfie. You would see yourself in the Beis HaMikdash. So they did have mirrors. They definitely had mirrors in ancient times. Okay, but this, the Gemara tells you, was stored. Who's there to look? Who says? We don't know. Whatever it is, he was there and he saw his reflection, and it says, Upochaz, everybody says, Upochaz Olai Yitzri. And when I saw myself in the mirror, my Yetzer, it overwhelmed me. Pachas Kamayim was in Rashi, and the Gemara says, or the Rand says, I remember, it's Miher, it was very swift. It was very quick to overtake me, or maybe you learn Pachas means it really expanded, it overwhelmed me. And I was ready to do an Avera. And then I caught myself, and I said, this is not the proper way to live a life, and I have to do something about this, to therapy, to prevent myself from being nichshol in an Avera. And I decided the best thing to do is to become a Nazir, and when you become a Nazir, you're going to shave off all of my hair. And okay, the Gemara goes on, being a Nazir, you abstain from the delights in this world, from Yayin. Yayin loosens a person, which would allow the person to lighten up. It makes it easier, it breaks down his self-defense, and the beauty of that would make me, I'm assuming, desirable to other people to do an Avera. I'm going to enter into a life of tzniyus. I'm going to shave off my beautiful hair, so I should not be desirable. I really don't know what Pshat the Gemara is. I should not be desirable. And Nemela, this will be an antidote to the Yetzer Hara. So let's review. Person was a shepherd. He was a beautiful person and had a lot of opportunities to do averos. He was a prime target for the Yetzer Hara. Beautiful young boy that was very attractive, very, very handsome, and who had a very easy time doing averos. He would be a very successful person in the industry of doing averos. And he, for a moment, realized his potential to do averos, and he right away caught himself, and he nipped it in the bud by accepting upon himself a term of Nazirus, which the process of Nazirus would be an antidote to this, to the Yetzirah. Now the Gemara then makes it very clear, he saw his image, he saw a reflection of himself. It is Hashkocha Pratis, that we're learning this Gemara against the backdrop, Parashas Lech Lecha, which is possibly the only other place, B'chol HaTorah Kula, where you have such a similar story. And that is Avram. He now follows Hashem's directive to go to Eretz Yisrael. He's put in a nisoyon, a very big nisoyon. There's nothing what to eat. There's a famine. He has no choice but to go down to Egypt. Vayered Avram Mitzrayimol Agursham Ki Chavid Arav Aretz. It was a difficult time. Vayhi Kasher Hikriv Lovay Mitzrayim Vayomel Sarah Yisha Hinei No Yodati Ki Yisha Yifas Smareot. Sarah, we got a problem. You're a beautiful woman. You're a beautiful woman, and what's going to happen? They're going to say Ishtoi Zois. They're going to say, oh, Ishtoi Zois, that it's this man's wife. The Hargu Oisi, they're going to kill me. The Oisoch Yechayu. Now, what's interesting over here is it's not like what happened. What happened was he tried to put her in a box. Okay, but and then when they discovered, or whatever happened, v'chul, but over here there's a Rashi. Rashi doesn't really say what happened. Rashi says, Rashi on this Pasuk Yud Aleph, writes, Hinei no yodati medrash agoda. Ad achshav until now lo hikir bo mitoch tzniyus shebishnehem. They were both exceedingly modest. Now what does that mean exactly? He never looked at his wife. It's hard to believe such a thing. It's hard to accept at face value. He never looked at his wife, he knew what his wife looked like. He knew what his wife looked like, but he did not know the degree of her beauty. He knew what she looked like, but he did not really appreciate the depth of her beauty.
He didn't look at other women.
What?
He did not
look at other women. So you're saying that in contrast, he said everyone was beautiful. He's saying that what's the big deal? I have a beautiful wife. Everyone has a beautiful wife. Now when he saw what they look like, he realized, wow, I really have something. Okay, listen, you can say a lot of things. It's.
I think you have said in the past,
yeah,
that he saw her for the first time as others.
Right, excellent, that's right. Wow, you have a great, Rav Chol, I heard this actually from Rav Gershon Ribner. I heard Rav Gershon Ribner, basically he never saw a picture of his wife. He didn't have wedding pictures. When you see a person in action, it's very true. When you see a person in action, it's not the way they look. Everyone over here is horrified when they see themselves in the picture. I mean, I don't know, everyone. It's very different of Gesundheit, of seeing a person in action, alive, versus seeing the person as an image. Because an image, there's no life to the image. It's just a static image of, and then it's kulagashmi. It's, you're saying that anymore because today there's videos and this is that. This is truth today, you're right, it's true. But when you see a person in life, you see the ruchnius of them. When a person is alive, this isn't over. When you see a person doing chesed, davening, running, going to the shir, going here, going there, you don't focus on their gashmius. You focus on their ruchnius. You see them alive. When you see them and as an image, it's a davar gashmi. Avram Avinu certainly knew what his wife looked like. He saw Sarah every day, every second of the day. But he saw her involved in life. When he saw her in the Babua, he saw her as the way others saw her, as a cheftza, as just a piece of meat. Because when he saw it as a reflection, he wasn't looking at her engaged in daily activity. He just saw her, other people, the Mitzrim, they don't care about Chesed, about Torah, Avodas Hashem. They look at a person as a piece of meat. So Avraham Avinu, for the first time in his life, he saw her reflection, meaning he didn't see her engaged in life activity. He saw her just, so then he realized, we're going amongst Shechorim, and they don't appreciate Ruchnius. It's a problem. Hashem, Hashkocha Pratis, reminded him that it has to be taken care of. Okay, that was a pshat, a very deep pshat. I heard it from Rav Gershon Ribner, and that we once spent time on. I want to tell you a different pshat. a different pshat today. Hinei no yodad. It's not really a pshat, it's just more of an observation, more of an observation from the Daf Yomi, because the best of my limited knowledge, the only other place you have such a thing like this is where a person accidentally saw themselves in a, what we call a babua, which is, we're assuming is in a reflection, is by the Nazir, that ba midoraim, and it's by Avram. Now here Rashi says two perushim. First Rashi says, he says only three perushim. First he says, lo hikir ba mitach tzniyus shebishneyem, v'achshav hikir ba al yidei maisa, through the maisa. What is the maisa? So you look in the, mefarshim, the maisa was, he saw her through a babua. Now, it's not so clear, or maybe it is clear, what exactly did he see? What exactly did he see? Did he see Hikir Ba Al Yidei Maisa? Did he see her in the Babua? Or did he see himself in the Babua? Or did he see them together in the Babua? In the story of the Nazir Haba Midoraim, the Nazir saw himself. That's what it says. He saw his own reflection. So what? You saw your own reflection. Here, the Pashtus is, really we should get, he saw her. Is that really what happened here?
Excuse me, the Marsha in Nazir, Settlers Nazir, has a whole different take on
that. Yeah, what does the Marsha say?
He says that this
Roya
was a big
Chacham.
That's why
it
says Bidorim.
The
Chachmi Dorim. And why was he a Roya? He was doing it just because of his father to do the mitzvah of Kibbut Av Aim.
Yeah.
He really didn't want to do it. He did it in Kibbut Av Aim. And then when he saw his potential that he could do other things, he said, I'm going to go forget about it. So then he
reminds
himself, the Torah says,
Laman
Yerichon
Yomecha,
so he's going to...
Okay, that's a different halakha. But the parsha is, he saw his babu, Pochas Olai Yitzri. When we learn parsha pshat over here, this story of Sarah, it's... We assume that Avram Avina, maybe what I'm saying is not, it's not proper to say this, is that the problem here is not Avram. The problem is, who's the problem? You're the problem. I would say in Shidduchim, you're not the problem. I'm the problem, right? No. You're the problem. You are the problem. We learn Pashup Shat is that Avram was a very big Baal Madrega. He was an exalted level of spirituality. And Avram was perfect, as perfect as can possibly be. And now we're coming to a land of low lives. And Sarah, you're the problem. You are the problem. You are too beautiful for these people, and when they're going to see you, they're going to kill me, and we got big problems over here. So you're the problem. I'm not the problem. Look, the Ribbono Shalom said to me, Lech Lecha, Hashem promised me Eretz Yisrael. Hashem is promising all of these brachas. I'm perfect. You're the problem. You're beautiful, and we're going to a land of low lives, and it's going to be a problem. Is that the pshat? Or is the pshat, no, I'm the problem. When Avram Avinu, he saw her in the babua, I'm trying to tie this to the Gemara of the Nazir, Avram realized that I'm the problem. What do I mean by that? I'm really building this on the Ramban. Okay, because if not for the Ramban, you can't say this. The Ramban is a very controversial Ramban if you don't nuance it the right way. The Ramban is very critical of Avram Avinu going down to Egypt. Ramban says, Choto Gidoila, Avram Avinu committed a very grave avera to go to Mitzrayim. Hashem told Avram Avinu to go to Eretz Canaan. And then there was a famine, Vayihi Ro'ov Ba'aretz. Okay, so there's a famine. How am I going to survive? Figure it out. Hashem told you to go to Eretz. Hashem did not tell you to leave. The Ramban learns that when it says Vayered Avram Mitzrayma, Avram Avinu had a yerida. He was not able to be oimed in this nesoyon of the Ra'av. He should have had more faith. Now, easy for us to say, right? Right? Easy for us to say. He had a very difficult time. He went down. It was a Yerida. This is the Ramban. I'm not making this up. Log Roshom. Ki Chavir Rav Oretz. And now he says, Vayihi Kasher Hikriv Lovim Mitzrayim. V'yom El Sarah Yishah. Hinei No Yidah Dekhi Yishah Yifas Mare'ot. How? Because there was a mice. What was the mice? A mice of a babua. The only place you have a babua in Shas is the Nazir Habam Midaram, and there it's clear as day that the Nazir saw himself. Now you have to go, it's not so clear, you have to go look at the story in more detail, exactly who he saw in the Babua. Pashup Shad is he saw Sor in the Babua. And now we have to worry about what's going to be. But is that the Pshat? Or is the Pshat that Avraham Avinu, he saw himself in the Babua, and he did not appreciate, I'm saying might be really totally too much to say, that he did not himself appreciate Sarah as a wife the way the Torah looks at a wife. He looked at Sarah as, oh, until now I see you every single day that I look at you, Sarah, it never dawned upon me to look at your beauty. Every single day of my life, I look at you, you're my wife. Do I think about it? You're beautiful, you're not beautiful? That's ridiculous. You're beautiful, you're my wife. I analyze what you look like every single day and I put a number on it, if you would win a beauty contest. It's Narishkeit. I look at you, you're the person. Aram Avinu, he came there, he went down to Mitzrayim. He wasn't supposed to go to Mitzrayim. The Ramban says that was a big mistake. The Mokum of Mitzrayim is a Mokum Shetufei Zima. Shetufei Zima. It's like Las Vegas. The lowest of the low of low. Anyone who goes there, the Lubavitcher Rebbe did not send a Shliach to Las Vegas until the very, very end. He held that a Shliach that would go to Las Vegas would be swallowed alive. Cannot survive the lowliness of the place.
They have the biggest minion.
What? Now they have the biggest minion. Go figure, right? But Avraham Avinu was not supposed to go down to the Erev Az Haaretz, the place. He went down there. When he went down there, he saw his wife in the mirror. You look at your wife in the mirror. In other words, you ever see these guys, all these yeshiva guys, they have on their home screen a picture of their wife. They have in their wallet a picture of their wife. Okay, yeah, a lot of guys, people have pictures. What? The wife's put it there? Could be. Okay, they have a picture of his wife. Avraham Avinu, he found himself when he went down to Egypt, he had a picture of his wife in his wallet. Since when does Avraham Avinu have a picture of his wife in his wallet? I don't need to go look at my wife. My wife is my wife. I need to go look at a picture of what she looks like to remind myself how beautiful she is. That's not a derech. He went down to Mitzrayim. He saw his wife in the reflection, and he said, oh, that's my wife. Look how beautiful she is. And in other words, the problem is not that the people of Egypt, oh, they're going to see a beautiful woman, and now when they see a beautiful woman, they're going to kill me, they're going to kill her. The problem is, I am looking at my wife the wrong way. And therefore, I'm in trouble. Because Hashem is not going to protect me anymore. When a person is on an exalted level of spirituality, you don't have to worry about anything. When does a person, what did Yaakov Avinu say? Yaakov Avinu said, what are you talking about, Yaakov Avinu? Rashi is the question. Hashem promised you. Hashem promised Avraham Avinu. Hashem promised Yitzhak. Hashem promised you. Hashem will be with you. Your father gave you brachas. What are you so worried about? Vayidor Yaakov neder leimar im yiyeh lukim imodiyu shmarani ba'derech hazeh shanochi holeich v'nosan li lechem lechel. What are you so worried about? So what does Rashi say? Shema Yigroim Hachet. Hashem told me, Lech Lecha, go. What's there to worry about? I have to worry. They're going to kill me because I have a beautiful wife. Ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. Hashem told me, Lech Lecha. I have nothing to worry about. Hashem will protect me. Hashem will be with me. Avram Avinu now says, I'm in trouble now. You know why I'm in trouble? Shema Yigroim HaChet. What chet? The fact that I've even noticed my wife in a babua is an indication I'm not the old Avram I used to be. Because the old Avram used to be saw his wife in the babua a million times. Every time, there was must have been a mirror in his home, right? A vanity. And there's my wife. Here she is. He saw her a million times. Did it ever even cross on his mind, oh, my wife is very beautiful? No, because Avram Avinu was holding on a level, on a different level. This is my... It's all part of the same thing. It's all part of the same thing. He was drawn there, whatever it is. It's the same idea. It's all part. It doesn't matter when the chait started. The fact is, at this moment in time, Avram Avinu, he saw his... I'm trying to say, it's not that he never saw his wife. He saw his wife all the time. It's not like we said last year or the year before that it means that he saw his wife the way other people saw his wife. It's the point I'm trying to make is that he took notice that he saw his wife. You do something a million times, but you don't pay attention to what you're doing. The fact that you took pause to look at the picture, oh, Taco, this is what my wife looks like. I know what she looks like, but I never pause to even look. Why am I pausing to look at my wife and to take notice of what she looks like? Because I'm not the same Avram Avinu. Because this Mokoim has had a roishim on me, where in this Mokoim, people, they look at their wife to see if she's still beautiful, if she is beautiful, and they compare. I never did that because I don't need to do that. This is not my purpose in life to do that. Now that I find myself behaving like the locals, where they have a picture of their wife in their wallet, and they look, and they have to keep on being machazik themselves, that I have a beautiful wife, what am I doing? What am I doing over here? Something is not right. Shema yigroi machet. Now I have a problem. Now I have to talk a worry about they're going to kill me.
This was even before he got to Mitzrayim.
Right, he already had this problem. Already getting near, you know, the radar, you're within, you know, the tumor radiates.
Right.
Tumor radiates very, very far. The closer you get, it gets very, very far. So yeah, I'm speaking in words that are not clear, but I'm trying to say is that Avraham Avinu, it's very far-fetched to say that no Torah is for the average person. Okay, he never saw his wife, she wore a burqa his whole life, never wore his life. I heard of Gershon Ribner. Gershon Ribner is a very holy person. He see Mamas said, like, what? Come on. Is that really the pshat? You never saw his wife. So he went on to explain, he saw his wife the way other people saw their wife. I'm trying to say something very similar, is that he took notice that he saw his wife. He paused. Oh, this is my wife. He never paused. There never was a pause. Not the shot that he saw where other people saw his wife. He took notice that he saw his wife. Why are you doing that? A person who is busy in Avodas Hashem doesn't focus on these things. You know, there are people that are very, very busy. They don't even, in their home, they don't even think about doing construction. They don't think about, oh, you know, there's a crack in this pipe leaks and this tile on the floor is not perfectly. I don't have time for this. I don't even notice. I'm busy. You're learning. You're giving shiurim. You're going to shiurim. You're making a parnasa. I have time to focus that we need a painting. Is that there's a crack on the ceiling and we should go painting? I don't have time for this. I'm so busy in whatever I do. This is not something I pay. All of a sudden, one day, person's retired. He has nothing to do with himself. And now he notices, you know, let's paint the house. Let's fix this. Let's fix that. You know, you got too much time on your hands. You got too much time on your hands, and you're beginning to focus on things that are really not important and are narishkeit. And what are you focusing on? You know, the tie... I didn't know this. You know, you can make the tie a Windsor tie. You can make if you make the tie like this, it leans one way. So all of a sudden, I look at people's ties. How do you do? But you never thought about this. Who has time for this mishigas? When you have too much time on your hands, you begin to notice things. It's exactly what happened here. Avram Avinu vayered. The Ramban says, Avram Avinu was in the trenches. Hashem was challenging him. And Avram Avinu had a yerida. And when he had a yerida, he noticed his wife. He saw her in a babua. I saw her in a babua 1,000 times. But now's the first time I taka paid attention that I saw her. And now, pochaz ola yitzri. Now I know I'm in trouble. Now I know I'm in trouble. So then, you know, let's go back to the shepherd. It's the same idea by the shepherd. The shepherd, what's the pshat? He saw his reflection in the water. It's really the same idea. It's only the reflection in the water. What, the shepherd, he never knew, doesn't know what he looks like. A young boy didn't look in the mirror when he bought a suit. He didn't go look in the mirror. The Teretz says he had too much time on his hands. He taka now notice what he looks like. He paused. I have too much time on my hands. Too much time on my hands. I'm noticing things that ordinarily you don't have time to pay attention to. And now is time to get worried that I've had yerida, shema yigroi machet. And now we have to pay attention to these things. Okay, let's go to another idea. One of the major principles in Yados is the mida of mida kineged mida. When Yisroi was megayer, his words were ato yodati ki gadol Hashem yikol Elohim ki vadovor asher zodu aleihem. This was a very profound statement of Yisro acknowledging the greatness of Klal Yisro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts himself with the principle of Mida Keneged Mida. That is how a ger Yisro, that is how he embraced Yadus. That's how he was enamored by Yadus, the Mida of, the concept of Mida Keneged Mida. Who was the first ger in Klal Yisrael? Avram Avinu. Avram was a ger. He was part of the world, and he decided he wants out. The whole world was on one side, he was on the other side. Avram was a ger. And this week's parasha is really where Avram Avinu, he steps up his game. Vayem Hashem Avram lech lecha. Hashem begins to nurture his midos with the ten nisyonos. And I just want to make an observation of the concept of Mida Keneged Mida coming out, literally leaping out the pages of Parshas Lech Lecha. Avram Avinu, he does something very, very noble in the beginning of the parsha. And that is, he takes with him Lot. Hashem made it very clear, Lech Lecha. Rashi actually emphasized this later in the parsha. From Rashi, you get the impression that it might not have been the best idea to take Lot with him. Lot turned out to be a real problem for him, because Lot was not with the program. Lot went to Sodom. He got involved with the wrong people, and eventually Avram had to bail him out. By bailing him out, he had to go to war, a world war, and he almost got killed. And he had a lot of tzaras from this. What would have been had Avram left Lot back in Aram Naharayim? I don't know. No one knows what would have been. Who knows what would have been? But Avram, he felt it is his duty to care for his nephew Lot. And when we spoke about this, why did his brother die? His brother only died because of Avram. Haran, the father of Lot, died al kiddush Hashem. Nimrod said to Haran, you want to give up about the Zara? So we said, I'll do whatever happens to Avram. If Avram is willing to die al kiddush Hashem, if Avram dies, if Avram is thrown into the fire, I'm not going to go into the fire. If he dies, if Avram survives, I'll also be meiser nefesh. So what happened? Nimrod threw Avram into the fire. Miraculously, Avram survived. Nimrod then said, "You Haran, you also want to go into? Are you going to give up Avodah Zarah, or should I throw you into the fire?" So Haran said, the same way Hashem saved Avram, Hashem will save me. So Nimrod threw Haran into the fire, and what happened? Toast. He was burned to a crisp because he did not have the same emunah as Avram, But you cannot deny the fact that Haran was the first person in the history of the world who died al kiddush Hashem. Avram was thrown into the fire, a miracle, he didn't die. He was willing to die al kiddush Hashem. But at the end of the day, he did not die al kiddush Hashem. Haran has a very special place in the next world, because Haran died, mamish died al kiddush Hashem. Oh, you're going to say, but his kavanas were insincere? That doesn't matter. The end of the day was, do you believe in God or do you not believe in God? I believe in God. I'll go into the fire. You go into the fire, you get burnt. You're relying upon a miracle? Okay? He thought the same way Hashem did a miracle for Avram, Hashem will do a miracle, will do a miracle for him. It didn't happen. Okay, so any event.
Why
was it a mistake? He died al kiddush Hashem. The bottom line was, Haran died al kiddush Hashem. Okay, whatever his motives, kavanah was, he did die al kiddush Hashem.
But he wasn't planning.
He wasn't planning on it, but listen, when you go into a fire, you know what happens.
He was planning on a miracle.
Yeah, he thought. A lot of people, but it's a miracle, it's a long shot. Just because the miracle happened to Avram, but you can tell me in the back of his mind, he didn't realize that there's a 1% chance that he's not going to merit the miracle. He's not going to merit a miracle. Maybe Avram, I'm sure in the back of his mind, there has to be a possibility that he's not going to merit the miracle, Avram Avinu. And he still went into the fire. On that teeny mashu of Mesiras Nefesh, he's a Kadosh. And he was the first one to do Al Kiddush Hashem. So Avram Avinu, he felt, I owe it to my brother Haran, who died because of me, the very least I should care for his child. So Avram adopted Lot. And Hashem didn't tell him to do this. This was not a tzivui. Vayom Hashem Avram, lech lecha, you and only you. His father he abandoned. His father, goodbye and good luck. 60 years, he had nothing to do with his father. His father he got rid of. Lot, he took with him because of his brother. Okay, lech lecha. Now what happens? He goes with Lot. They come down to Eretz Yisrael, and there's a famine. There's no question the famine was a tremendous nisoyon to Avram. Rashi writes this. This is an incredible. Hashem tells you to go to Eretz Yisrael, and you can't survive. Avram was able to be oymed in this nisoyon, and he grew from it. But Lot, he couldn't handle it. Lot could not handle the nisoyon. Hashem tells you to go, and you go, and there's nothing to eat. So, of course, it's not such a question that the next opportunity when he sees Sodom, Kigan Hashem Ke'eretz Mitzrayim, he goes running to Sodom. Then, now before they went to Sodom, what happened? This is the important part we want to mention is they came back from Egypt, very wealthy, and there was a riv bein roye miknei Avram, bein roye miknei Lot. What was the fight about? There was not enough pasture land for the animals. There wasn't enough, and the roye miknei Lot said, "What's the big deal? We'll take from other people gezel because Hashem promised everything to Avram, and he has no yarshim. Lot is his closest relative, so Lot will anyway inherit all of the assets. So you might as well." So Avram says no. V'aknani v'aprizi oz yoyshev. It's premature. So Lot goes. So Avram says, "Listen, why should there be a fight? Let's split." Now, when they split, Avram says to him, "Listen, I'm always going to be there for you." Vayihi. This is the key passage I want to focus on. Vayoyimer Avram el Lot al nasi meriva beni veinecha. And he says to him, "Listen, I'm going to always be there for you. Im hasmoil v'yemina, v'im hayomin v'asmiila." It's a very powerful pasuk. Avram says to Lot, "I am committed to you." A very powerful pasuk. And Rashi says in pasuk Tes, "Im hasmoil b'chol asher teshev." Loy esrachik mimcha, wherever you dwell, I will not distance myself from you. Ve'emoid lecha, I will stand there for you. Limogain ule ezer, I will be there for you as a mogain and an ezer. V'soif davar chutz shachloi shnema v'yish mavrom ki nishba achiv v'chulu. Okay, Rashi v'yamina, ayimin es atzmi, I will make myself, I'll be to you, ayimin es atzmi, v'asmila asmila es atzmi. So I want to suggest to you that this, the Rashi is saying over here is, it doesn't just mean location. What Rashi has two very powerful words, right and left. And Rashi says it doesn't mean location-wise. It means, Aymina, I'll be your right hand, and I will be at your left side. What do you hold with your right hand? The sword. What do you hold with the left hand? The shield. Okay, when you go to war, there are two tools you have. You have a sword and a shield. In the right hand, you hold the sword. In the left hand, you hold the mogging. Rashi is very precise. Rashi teaches, "Emasmol ayemina v'mayemina ayesmila." I will be there for you as a mogain and an oizer. Was Avraham Avinu required to do this? Absolutely not. He was not required to take Lot with him. And now, when Lot was misbehaving and they split, he had no obligation to commit himself to be a mogain and an oizer. What happens later on? Avraham Avinu goes, there's a world war, they capture Lot, and the Pala tells him what happens, and Avraham Avinu goes out to fight a world war, and he wins. And when he wins, what happens? And Malki Tzedek comes out and says to him, when the war is over, he says, Vayivorecheyu vayoymar, Boruch Avraham lekel elyoin, Koinei shamayim varetz, Uvoruch kel elyoin, Asher migain tzorecho biyodecho, vayitin loy maser mikol. And Avram gave him. He uses this very unusual word. And we say this every day in davening. Baruch atah Hashem, mogain Avraham. That's mamish, the basics of Yados. Avram Avinu is where it all started. And when we relate to Avram Avinu, we say, Baruch atah Hashem, mogain Avram. And Malki Tzedek acknowledges that this miracle of Avram Avinu fighting against nine kings, waging a world war in order to save his nephew Lot, this commitment, Hashem has assisted Avram and has delivered Asher Migain Tzorecha Biyodecha. The word Migain here is used a little differently. I mean, Migain means a shield, but we're using it as to mean to deliver. Or you want? I mean, it's a very rich word. Hashem was at your side, and the word that is used here is the sherish mogein. Let's go further. We're not even finished yet. After achar hadvar mo'elam, hoya devar Hashem el Avram ma'machazelimur al tir Avram. Don't be afraid. Anochi mogein loch. I am your shield. Sechorcha harbe mo'od. The same exact word. The first time the word is really an ozer. Migen means to deliver. Hashem has taken your enemies and have delivered them. This is a verb, an active form of assistance. Migen. The very next episode, the next psukim, Hashem appears to Avram and uses the word again. In the as a defensive, do not worry. Rashi says that Avram was concerned that in this battle he took the life of many, many people. We don't know what that means. Maybe he took the life of millions of people, maybe hundreds of millions of people, maybe thousands. Whatever it means, he killed many people in this battle, and Avram Avinu was afraid that he would be punished. He was afraid of who knows what. And Hashem says, I'm going to protect you. Nothing will happen to you. Anochi mogein lach. There is a very heavy emphasis on the word mogein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the one hand, migein, he delivered your enemies in your hands. And number two, when the war is over, you have nothing to worry about. No one's going to come take revenge against you. No one's going to come and harm you. I will protect you. Hashem delivered. Hashem was at his side offensively, and Hashem was at the side of Avram defensively. Why is Hashem using this term, mogein mogein? Well, Rashi says, I mean, it doesn't say in the pasuk, but Rashi says, and it needs a little more clarification, it appears that this is a classic example of Mida Keneged Mida. Because Avraham Avinu, the first act of kindness that Avraham Avinu has done is Vayoyimer Hashem el Avram Lech Lecha. The first time Hashem appears to Avraham Avinu, he tells him, I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael, Lech Lecha. And what does he do? What is his first act of kindness? Lot, I will not abandon you. I will not abandon you. You're coming with me. I will take care of you.
Not
you're,
to be protected Lot in the war, not that.
Well, he did that all. I mean, that also, everything, the whole gamut. Oh. The whole gamut. George, just remind me, there is some, the Torah over here gives, the Torah is not telling you stories. I mean, the Torah actually tells us a teeny, teeny glimpse of the life of Avraham Avinu. What happened? What was all this with Nimrod? We don't need, or Kasdim. The Torah tells us almost nothing. How did Avraham Avinu discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They make these movies and these cartoons, and they dig up these midrashim you never heard of before. The Torah kemat says nothing. Mamish nothing about the early life of Avraham Avinu. First time we know about him, he's 99 years old, and Hashem says, yeah, he has a child. And then we go, 75 years old, a little here. But yet the Torah devotes an enormous amount of effort to Lot's relationship, Avram's relationship with Lot. And Rashi summarizes the whole story of Avram and Lot with one word. I will be for you as an Ezer and a Mogen. That's how Rashi summarizes the whole story of Lot. Avram says, Lot, you're my nephew. My brother died, Kiddush Hashem, because of me, and you're my nephew. I'm devoted to you. And Ve'im Hasmol Ayemina, Vim, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. What?
Was Haran older than Avram?
Haran? I don't know. It was a nephew. Lot was Avram's nephew, whatever it was. He was younger. No, it seems that he was younger than Avram. I don't know. It doesn't matter what age he was. Avram Avinu expresses his commitment to Lot. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards Avram Avinu, Onochi Mogein Loch. I am suggesting, I can't prove this, is that the reward of Onochi Mogein Loch is Mida Keneged Mida. Just like when it comes to Yisrael, the very first Ger who entered the scene of Klal Yisrael after Matan Torah, Ato Yodati Ki Godol Elohim, Godol Hashem, Mikol Elohim, Ki Vadovar Asher Zodu Aleihem, Yisro recognized Mida Keneged Mida in the negative. You mess with the Jewish people, Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem will mess with you. That's the first Ger after Matan Torah. Who's the first Ger before Matan Torah? Avram. And the Torah is a parallel, the same Avram. Where does Avram is being taught the Mida of the concept of Mida Keneged Mida? Avram, Rashi summarizes the relationship. I will be a Mogen. I will always be there for you. And Hashem says, Avram, I'm here for you as well. Onochi Mogen Loch Sechorcha Harbe Mod. I'm just suggesting this because there's a question that have to be asked. Why is the Torah mentioning all of the stories about Lot? You can put these stories in the Medrash. These stories about Lot. That Lot came with him, and what happened what happened to Lot? Who you need all these stories? This is the thrust of what the Torah here is describing is not Lot. Who cares about Lot? It's not Mitzrayim. It's showing you the core is the commitment of Avraham Avinu to help to be a Mogen for Lot. It's my duty. You're my brother's child. Anochi Mogen Loch. Hashem, and then when this Achar HaDevarim Ho'elu, what's the Achar? after Avram Avinu demonstrating to another, to a relative, Anochi Magen Lach, Hashem appears to Avram b'machazeh and he says to him the same thing that Avram said to Lot. In essence, Avram, what did Avram say to Lot? Don't worry, Altira, Anochi Magen Lach. Hashem is now saying to Lot, Hashem is saying to Avram exactly the same thing. What you did for your nephew, what you did for your nephew, Lot, what you did for him, you have demonstrated that you have what it takes. And therefore you are deserving of Midah, Kenegan Midah, Altira Avram. The same way you told Lot, don't worry, I got you. I'll take care of you, you come with me. And then when Lot wanted to go on his own, he said to him, Ayemina, I'll be there for you, to protect you, and don't worry about anything. So Hashem says to Avram, you know what? B'derech sh'ato moideit, bo moidim lo, altir Avram, onoichi mogein loch, secharcha harbe mod. Okay, well, let me show you another quick avart over here, in the story over here. At the end of the story of Lot, they comes to Sdom, and Avraham Avinu, he conquers the entire world, and Avraham Avinu has in his possession the wealth, the assets of the entire world. He conquered the nine kings, which appeared to be the kings that controlled the entire civilized world, and now has in his possession every penny. He was the dictator of the world, and Melech Sdom pleads with Avraham, "Give me back the people. I need workers. I need some slaves. You can keep the money, but give me back something."
Well, he was a king, so without people, he's king.
Exactly. I need something. So Avram says to him, "Not only can you have back the people, you can have back every last penny. You can have. I don't want a penny from this. Hashem promised me that my wealth will come through my own means. It's not going to come through blood, through war, through other people suffering." I lift up my hand. You can have back all of the neshamos, and you can have back all of the money as well. Question: why? Why did Avram have to go to such an extreme to say, I don't want a shoestrap, a chut? Why? Why? So it would appear very simply. There's another example of Avram Avinu's integrity. How did this whole story start? The whole story started because there was a dispute between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avram regarding taking other people's money. There was not enough land to pasture for the animals of Avram and the animals of Lot. So the shepherds of Lot said, "Listen, you know, you never cheated on your taxes before. You never fudged a couple of numbers here and there. Come on, you know. The government gives away all this money for every nonsense, so you're not going to go, you know, so when no one's watching, you let the animals graze on someone else's property. Anyway, they don't use it. You know, you have all the excuse in the world. Come on, don't be a chassid shaita. The ganze Welt does it, so no, what's the big deal? You never parked in an illegal parking spot your whole life. Come on, what's the big deal here already?" Avram said, "No, when it comes to Gezel, you don't take a penny that doesn't belong to you." That's right. Honesty, integrity, you don't take a penny that does not belong to you. This is not our property. You don't let the animals graze in someone else's property. And don't tell me these excuses that Hashem promised it's going to be my land in the future, and therefore, it's Kilu, I own it right now. No. HaKenani v'aprizi oz yoshev v'aretz. Look at your passport. It says Kenani, Prizi, when it's not our land yet, and it's illegal. You don't take money that's not yours. And because of this disagreement between the two of them, if you can take someone else's money when no one is watching that's not yours, they split. And because they split, Lot was vulnerable, and he was captured. He was taken hostage as a tool to bring Avram into the war. And Avram entered the war, and they thought it would be easy to knock him out, and instead he conquered them all. And when the day was over, Avram Avinu legally now has in his possession the assets, the wealth of the entire world. So look at that. There was a dispute over money. can I take someone else's money? Can I take this person's money? And Avraham Avinu said, no, I don't want to take your money. It's not ethically proper. Maybe it's outright gezel, or maybe you'll tell me, maybe not, it was unethical. I don't want to take someone else's money. And at the end of the day, what does Avraham Avinu have in his possession? He has everyone's money. Everyone's money. And I earned it fair and square because I went to war.
Spoils to the victor.
I conquered the entire world. But here's the chiddush. If I was sitting at home, minding my own business, and someone comes to attack me, and I retaliate, and I go to war, and I conquer, victor spoils to the victor. You're right, then I would keep all the money. It's mine. But the irony here is, you know how this war started? How this whole problem started? I made a public statement. You don't take something that's not yours. This whole episode only came about because my nephew Lot decided to go out on his own. He went out on his own and he was vulnerable. He was not protected because of me, not protected, and they conquered him, and I was committed to him. I promised him I would take care of him. I had no choice. Had Lot not left my side, this never would have happened. And why did Lot leave? It was headline news that Avraham Avinu is crazy. And why was he crazy? He doesn't take something that's not his. So now you're going to tell me when the war is over, I'm going to take everyone's money? Even though, yeah, technically I went to war. It's hypocritical. It's hypocritical. It goes against the grain of who I am. Who am I? I made a statement, you don't take what's not yours. And now I have in my possession what's not mine. I didn't earn this in the traditional way. You know how it came to me? Because I killed everyone. I killed everyone. That's even worse to a certain degree than Gezel. Gezel, the person at least is alive. Here, they're dead. I killed them. I went to war. People are suffering. Happens to be, in international law, you go to war, the victors, the spoils go to the victor, but that goes against the grain of how this whole thing started. This whole thing started with a public statement. You don't do that. You don't take into your possession something, the hard-earned money of someone else. And now I find myself, because I made that statement, the irony how this whole thing dreidled about, and I now conquered the world and have everyone's money, yeah, I can get away with it. I can legally get away with it. I can go to the United Nations and make all the statement, you know, war is war, v'chulu v'chulu. But you know something? It's in my book, it's hypocritical. Because how did I get here? I only got it because I said, not today. What I'm trying to suggest is like this. When Avraham Avinu said, this is really not Pashup Shah and the Pasuk at all, but I think the point is true, and that's why I'm just saying this, just for the effect of saying it, even though it's not Pshat, is when this whole thing happened, what happened? Vayoymer Chsan el Avram, ten li ha-nefesh, ve'rechush kachloch. Vayoymer Avram el melech Sidoim. It's very dramatic here. Harimoisi Yodi El Hashem Kelelio in Koine Shemayim Vaoretz Imichud Viat Seroich Now. I hereby raise my hand. Right now, the war is over. Everyone's dead. Here it's a victory speech. Hashem was the Koine Shemayim Vaoretz Imichud Viat Seroich Now. Viemekach Mikola Sherloch Veloy Soimani Asharti Yesavram. Wow, Avram, what are you getting all worked up? What are you getting all worked up? You don't want to take the money? Just say, tell me an esh rechush kahlach and say, man, we can have it. What's this whole drama? The answer is, Avram Avin was saying to Milkstone, you know, 20 years ago, more, it was how many years ago did this whole war, the whole war was 13 years, 14 years, and then the battle went on, so we're dealing over here at least 25 years. So this, excuse me, Melech Sodom, let me remind you that 30 years ago, 30 years ago, I had a fight with my nephew, Lot. And 30 years ago, then I lifted up my hand to Hashem and I said to my nephew, Lot, I don't take other people's property. You can't go graze your animals on people's stolen property. The statement that he's saying, Hari Moshe Yodi Lashem Kel Elyoin, Koine Shamayim V'aretz, when did Avraham Avinu become a legend in acknowledging that it is God who created this world? Not today. This is old news. Remember back in the day, 30 years ago, maybe it was more than 30 years ago, when I was Avram HaIvri, when the whole world were pagans, or idolaters, and I was the one who let the world be known that there's something called the God, there's a Kel Elyon, who's Konei Shemayim V'aretz. It was then, 30, 40, 50 years ago, when I lifted up my hand to Hashem, and I said to Hashem, then, Imichut V'yatziroich Nal, V'yimekach Mikol Asher Loch, I don't take other people's property. So you think now I'm going to take it? You think now? Think something has changed? You think that because right now, legally, I'm entitled to take all of the spoils of war? The war is over. The enemy is dead. I can now legally go and collect the spoils of war. You think I'm going to take this now? You think something has changed? 50 years ago, when I established that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of the world, then I said, not now, then I said, I would never dare take one penny from anyone, not from you and not from anyone in this world. So you're accusing me that I'm a politician. I'm going to flip-flop because now it's convenient. Now I can do it because now I can do it. I got the vote. I killed all the opposition. They're not coming to vote because they're dead. You think now I'm going to take advantage? I've got news for you. Nothing has changed. I'm the same old Abe. Nothing changed. I'm the same honest Abe. Nothing has changed in 50 years. What kind of ridiculous accusation you're making? You judge me like you look at yourself. You're a flip-flopper. I'm not a flip-flopper. And therefore, you can have it all. I'm not going to go take it. I'm trying to say pshat, the whole drama here is because Avraham Avinu is reminding Sodom, I don't change. I have real integrity. A word is a word. There's a story here that happened here. Trace the story. Let's go back and understand how this whole thing happened, how I entered into this war. I only entered into this war because you took my nephew hostage to bring me, to draw me into this war. If my nephew was living with me at home, this never would have happened. Why did my nephew disappear? Because then, 30 years ago, I made a statement to my nephew when I was the one who created, acknowledged that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator, part of acknowledging that Hashem is the creator, I told him, my nephew, that we don't do this. We don't take other people's property. And now, that has not changed. I'm not going to go collect all the spoils for myself because it's not mine. Oh, you'll tell me in the law. Don't talk about international law. That's not who I am. I don't take advantage.
That supports the pshat of this morning of David and Melch. I don't take revenge and let you have what you have, and I'm going to go.
I'm going to be successful. Hashem will grant me my wealth somewhere else. So now, what am I trying to add to this now more? Memelo, when we every day wear tzitzis, where does our tzitzis come from? It comes from this pasuk, Imichut. Where does our Ritzuah Shel Tefillin come from? When we put this on, what are we reminding ourselves of? Are we reminding ourselves of the victory? The victory? Oh, look at that. I have over here tzitzis. I have a ritzuis. Because the day, you know what happened? One day happened, Avraham Avinu was the victor. He was the Hayor Hashem lemelech al kol haaretz. The whole world collapsed. And Avraham Avinu was the victor. And Avraham Avinu said, look how honest I am. It's very easy to do that when you're on top of the world, when you wipe out the four kings, the five kings, and you're on top of the world, and you say to Melech Sodom, go go jump, go fly a kite. But you know, it wasn't so easy back in the day when Nimrod throws you into a fire and to tell the world there's a God, and then to say to your nephew, I'm going to take care of you, but we don't steal. We don't take, the whole world may steal, the whole world may be dishonest, but we're different. We don't do this. According to what I'm trying to suggest, is Avraham Avinu made this statement, not now, when the war was over, he made it 50 years ago. To make this statement 50 years ago means you're crazy. You really believe that you don't steal? You're really going to be so honest? Why you want to be so honest? What do you need? The whole world is corrupt, so you also be corrupt. No, I have faith in Hashem. When you wear the tzitzis and you wear the tefillin strap, it's taking you back to the difficult times. It's taking you back to the dark times. And yet, in the difficult times, still show your emunah. The whole world may be crazy. The whole world may be corrupt. It doesn't mean if they gone woke, I have to be woke. You have to be mechazik yourself. You have to be mechazik yourself in the difficult times. The pasuk here again, the yesod is there's too much drama in this pasuk. Sorry. Too much drama to say that it means it happened now. It has to be that this pasuk is saying what was done in the very beginning, and he's showing nothing has changed. You have to be oimed the emunasai. Good Shabbos.